Welcome to Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
All righty. Well, hey, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to another fantastic edition of Saturday AM Live. This is your host, Vance Rogers. We are terribly excited to have our guest with us today. Carl Eaton is a newcomer to the Nikan family. Can I say that? Is that appropriate, Carl?
Well, it depends on how you define newcomer.
Well, I've lived in the same area, the same town, for more than three decades, and I'm still considered a newcomer because there's not a road named after me.
All right.
And I've thought about changing our last name to one of the street names that are around us, just so people can say, oh, you're one of the pioneer families. But no, newcomer, I think I would define less than, two, 3 years.
Then I'm a newcomer.
So we want to welcome you, first of all, to Nikan, and also to the call. And, Carl, let's just jump right into things. People, if they've taken the time to read the latest issue of the Living Well / Nikan Family Magazine, they got to see you and your beautiful bride in there, Wendy, and your kind of 2 cents worth on how to maximize the upcoming convention and going for it. And if they took the time to read your story, then they know a little bit more about you. But for those of us who did not, let's go back and tell us about Carl Eaton and what life was like before Nikan.
All right. Let me before I start, I want to give a disclaimer, though.
Okay.
Because what I do is a little bit different. What I found works for me isn't going to work for everybody.
Okay.
Nikan has not endorsed, nor have they, you know, approved. They haven't disapproved either, but they, you know, they've given no endorsement to me. So I do not speak for corporate Nikan, and I am no way, you know, associated. I'm a consultant just like all the rest of you. But anyway, let me kind of give you a little bit of history about me and then kind of how I got to where I am. You know, I'm not a whole lot different than a lot of people out there. I've had a lot of different jobs in my life. I've been a real estate broker. I've been a mortgage broker. I owned a chain of cosmetology colleges and styling salons for quite a while. I've sold cars. I was a GM for a hotel, GM for a hospice company. I've been an account executive for a major cable company. So I've kind of bounced around a lot and done quite a few different things. Been in marketing a lot, been in business management quite a bit. And I came to a point in my life in September 2009 where I was working for Comcast, a cable company, and they closed our offices here in the Coeur d'Alene area. And I'd been very successful with them. I was the top 2% nationally of their account executives. So I felt really secure with the company, and I just felt like, you know, I just don't have to really worry about a whole lot. You know, they're going to always take care of me. But when they closed our offices, my option was, how would you like to live in Philadelphia?
And let people know where Paradise is for you. So
Paradise is up in the Coeur d'Alene, Idaho area, which is up in North Idaho. So, you know, I've always been kind of a country boy and never been a big city guy. And Philadelphia, you know, although it's probably a really wonderful place, is not a place that I really would choose to live.
I mean, come on, Carl. It's the city of brotherly love. How could you go wrong there? What's the problem?
So I began earnestly looking for another occupation, you know, but I'm to the point in my life I'm really kind of tired of looking for occupations. You know, I've been working for 35 years, and looking for a new career was not something I was really excited about, nor was my wife. So I was out on a, we were actually on a junket cruise that Comcast had, and I had a client that I did advertising for by the name of Charlie Toronto, and we were on this junket cruise, and he said, let's go upstairs, and the cruise was going around the lake, and we went upstairs, and he was telling me he had another business he was involved with, and I said, oh, that's wonderful, you know, I can sell them advertising too. And so he started telling me about the Nikan business, and I kept on, in my mind, I was thinking of ways of promoting his little business and doing some advertising for him, and kept talking about it, and pretty quick he says, let me try something. And I said, okay. And so he takes his shoes off and he pulls these insoles out. And I thought, this guy's nuts. You know, he's got these insoles that he thinks is going to make a difference with me. And so he put these insoles out. And I've always been a pretty fit guy, and he did the strength test, and it didn't make any difference on me.
Really?
And so he was kind of shocked because he couldn't move my arms either way. And, you know, but he kept talking to me about it, you know, and I kept on the whole time just thinking about, you know, I'm going to help him promote this business, and really never thought about me getting into the business. And he asked me if I'd listen to a couple CDs, and I said, sure. And so he handed me a couple CDs, and I took them home, and I listened to them, and that kind of piqued my interest because they were talking about the business attributes of the company and what was involved, and I was at that point where I had to make some decisions. And so I started looking into the company, and I thought, well, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to do a real deep search on it, because that's part of what I did, is I would search out, you know, what businesses were successful and which ones had problems and which ones had bad history and who could afford advertising and who couldn't. And so I did a really in-depth search into Nikan, and I, you know, I figured, you know, it's a multi-level company. They're going to have multiple lawsuits against them. You know, this is a company that when you dig into it, it's going to be real dirty, and it won't take me long to uncover who these guys are. And then I can warn Charlie and tell him he needs to get out.
You were gonna do him a favor.
That's right. I was doing him a favor by discovering who this company really is. And the more I dug, the more impressed I was.
Now, I have to ask, Carl, because I'm having a flashback to a couple, Brent and Brenda Dean, who started out very similar. Worked for a company. He was with Avis Rent-A-Car for years. And he did the exact same thing. Just so people understand, because my folks did the exact same thing 19 years ago this month. So you're at your 2-year anniversary, and it was 19 years ago this month. My mom actually hired a business private investigator. This was before we had access to the internet. What was it that you were looking for? I mean, you punch in Nikan and lawsuits?
I mean, anymore you can just punch in the name of a company and scams, and the word scams, and it'll pop up all kinds of lawsuits, all kinds of claims that people have made. And anybody can get online and make a claim against a company,
sure,
multiple sites. And when I did that, you know, there were a few things that popped up, but as you read their description of what was going on and their version, you could see that it was a very one-sided, you know, a very, very jaded view of what happened, and you really could see there was nothing illegal going on. These people got into the company, were disenchanted, or had arguments with their upline, and there was nothing that really had any criminal element to it. You know, and when I think of scam, I think of a criminal. I think of somebody that's pulling something that's illegal.
Sure. Okay.
And so that's what I was digging for, along with, you know, the financial credibility of the company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can there's sites you can go to and you can pay for, you know, basic financial reports of companies that'll tell what kind of credit rating they've got and those kind of things. And you know, the company was just sparkling clean. I mean, there just is no dirt out there. You know, that's other than the rumor and innuendo stuff that, you know, that we, you know, anybody can throw out there.
Sure. And, you know, and if you're I guess, level-headed and you got a little bit of common sense, you can kind of read through those things.
Yeah.
For example, you know, the FDA is going to close down all companies, both network marketing and traditional brick-and-mortar companies, anybody that sells vitamins.
Right.
You know, that I saw that one again this week, and, you know, you can do a quick search and see, well, there's not much truth to that, because Reed Nelson made a comment this week to us at our local meeting, and he said, you know, there's 330 million people in North America, and about 15 million at this point claim any connection with network marketing or utilizing a network marketing product. So that's less than 5%.
Right.
So we've got a big field out there, and so you've done this exhaustive search. Nothing's coming up. You know, everything's smelling like roses.
And you know, all of a sudden, the business started kind of gelling into this, you know, viable entity that I might be really interested in. And so I started making some more inquiries to Charlie, and he invited me over to Bruce Erickson's house, and Bruce sat down and did a presentation for us, and we went through Wellness Preview. And there were products that actually did, you know, I did notice a difference with and did see an effect to. And I, you know, the more I looked at it, the more I thought, you know, this is a real business. You know, this is an opportunity that I think I can do something with. And so I went to my wife and sat down, and we discussed the whole picture, and I what I wanted to do was just quit the Comcast job and just do this full time. And I sat down and crunched the numbers, went through it and figured out, you know, I think I can make this work. So I jumped into it with both feet and quit my job and began doing NECAN full time. And in October was the Dallas convention.
Uh-huh.
And Bruce talked me into going to the convention with him, so I went to the Dallas convention. And if you've never been to a convention, you really need to go.
Why? I'm curious because we are we are 4 weeks. We're just over a month from a convention that's coming up in Anaheim, California. And at this point, I would think it would be safe to say that a lot of people that are listening, or a lot of people that are out there, even those listening to the recording, have kind of either decided one way or the other. But I beg to differ because I talked to a couple yesterday. And I said, why don't you take a look? And they said, well, how much are tickets? And, you know, this kind of thing. And I said, well, I did a quick search, and this is what I came up with. And they said, really? Well, we could do that.
Let me add a bonus onto that for you, Van.
Okay.
If anybody out there wants to go to convention, I will give them free tickets.
Okay.
I've got a whole bunch of free tickets that I won in this last contest we have. And I filled up my boat with all my people, and I've still got some left over. So if anybody really wants to go to convention, those tickets are $195, and I'll give them to you free if you just get a hold of me.
So there's an excuse that just kind of went out the window.
There you go.
And Carl, do you want to go ahead and give your phone number at this point, or email address? Or they can see it via your website, can't they?
You can.
Yeah, get in contact with you, and it's simply the however it is. It's in my email, so if people are listening on the call, then they've got it. Carl, why is it so imperative, and what did you see in Dallas?
Yeah, let me tell you what I saw when I went to Dallas. When I went to Dallas, I've been to all kinds of conventions before, and what I was looking for is a typical Amway type of convention where some guy stands up in front of the audience and he starts screaming, I have a dream. You know, for a while I sold cars in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I worked for an Infiniti dealership, and we absolutely hated it when the Avon convention would come to town because you would have literally dozens of people call up and make an appointment to come down and go for test drives in our Infiniti vehicles. Hmm. And these are people that had no clue of what it was going to take to buy one of those cars. And they would take the test drive, and after the test drive, they would turn to you and they would say, thanks for your time. In 1 year, I'm going to buy this car. And that was part of the Avon, you know, what they would do is they would tell people you have to go out and drive the car and go, you know, call a realtor and go look at that mansion and that's your dream and visualize it and go get it and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, that's kind of what I envisioned. It was this big hype circus type environment where you're going to see lots of people standing up and screaming and doing a lot of crazy stuff. Well, what I found when I went to convention is I found a lot of people that were just like me. You know, they were just down to earth, grounded, people that were, you know, not wanting to stand up and wear, you know, 5-carat diamond rings and drive Rolls Royces, but people that really wanted to help people in a company that had a heart that was really vested in improving people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really shocking to me to see that large a group of people that shared that much common good. It wasn't about being wealthy. It wasn't about show and glitz. It was about let's help the world. And that really appealed to me. That was something that really kind of turned me on. So when I went there and I saw the kind of people that were succeeding, I came home from a convention and I just said, you know what, I can do this. You know, there is no reason in the world I can't get up there and just kill this job, so I'm going to go after it. So initially I got out my list of all my friends, family, and associates, and I came up with 268 people. And a lot of these were people I had sold cars to. And if you've ever bought a car from a car salesman and you go back to him again, I mean, that's a pretty unusual thing. And so I had all of these people that really liked me, really trusted me, and done business with me before. And I thought, you know, out of this group, I'm going to come up with a whole bunch of people. And so I went to all the training. I was really fortunate that I had Dave Johnson up here, who runs a lot of our wellness previews, and went to and had him do a lot of training with me. I had Larry Prophet came through quite a few times and had a good visits with him, and he gave me pointers. Jerry White was another one up here that I worked with quite a bit. So I had some of the, you know, the top guys in the company that just kind of tutored me and showed me how to do this. And as I went out and as I began my approach, my whole mindset was find business builders. I mean, that was my focus. That was my target. That's the bullseye I put on everybody. And as I talked to people, I was really discouraged from doing retail. I mean, the advice I received most of the time was, you know, retail is kind of a waste of your time. If they insist on buying retail, at least convert them, you know, to a distributor so they can buy it wholesale.
Okay.
And so I went out, and that was my pretty much my focus and my presentation was, you know, if you're interested in these products, that's a wonderful thing. Come over to my house. I've got a little presentation I'd like to show you, and then when they come over, I would try and flip them over to let me talk to you about the business. And that was my focus going forward. And so I went through my, over the next 9 months, I went through my 268 families, had tons and tons of wellness previews, did lots of rollouts, did all the traditional things that we all do. And I came up with about 9 people that, in my mind, were real solid business prospects that signed up and says, I want to join you in this business. And I've heard, you know, all of the same seminars you have about the people that say in my life, you know, they'll stand up and they'll tell you in my whole life I've only signed up 6 people and it's taken me all the way to the top. And so I felt like, you know, if I've got 9 solid business builders, I'm probably in really good shape. And so I began working with those 9, and you know, every one of them, although they bought the sleep systems, they had the total wellness home, they bought the business packs, they just would not get out and work the business. They had a good heart, they had good intentions, but they didn't have the work ethic, and they didn't have, wouldn't commit the time it takes to really develop it and make it happen. So after 9 months, my biggest paycheck during that 9 month period was $428. And I was pretty discouraged. You know, I was pretty frustrated, and I kind of just threw my hands up and said, you know, this isn't working. I had exhausted most of my reserves, and I decided it's time to get a real job. So I went out after 9 months and kind of walked away from NECAN and got a job as the general manager of a hospice company. Made really good money. It was a really great job, a good opportunity, a young, growing company that was really taking off and going places, and I was at the helm and going to take this company all the way to the top. Did that for 3 or 4 months, and I got to the point that it was my 1 year was up with NECAN, it was time to renew or drop out. And I sat down with my wife one day, and I said, you know, I'm just going to drop out of NECAN. There's really no sense doing this. You know, I'm just not interested in the business anymore. I kind of was burned with the whole multi-level idea, and I'm going to walk away.
And, Carl, I have to ask, at that stage, you had built it up to executive, bronze, silver. Where were you at?
I was executive.
You were executive. Okay, so you were earning 10%.
Yeah, my real problem was I couldn't figure out how to bring more than one person in at a month. You know, I couldn't stack up a bunch of consultants coming in at the same time so I could get my volume built up. I'd get up to that $5,000-$6,000 volume, and then the next month everything would fall off.
Okay.
And I couldn't stack up enough to really get going. And I knew that, you know, silver is where life really begins. That's really where you start, you know, moving. And I just would, you know, I'd get somebody ready to go, and they're all excited, and they'd sign up on the first.
And, Carl, what I find fascinating, but based on what you've shared thus far, is you weren't doing anything wrong.
Right.
You were doing everything right. In the network marketing industry, and I've been around it for more than 30 years now, okay? I was exposed to it as a kid, and I've been to some of the same things that you just shared about, some of those same types of events, as a kid. And so learning these principles early on, the problem is when you're doing all the right things, as you said, you know, a year ago, and this would be 12 months from now, that it's very frustrating because $428, you might be able to make a car payment that's a little shy of a mortgage for most people.
Right.
And so you can't, and I'll bet you were probably burning up, you know, maybe 100, 150 of that just in your auto ship alone. So, yeah, so frustrated, ready to, you know, throw in the towel.
Yeah, so I sat down one day and I said, you know, I spend about $8,000 on product just so I could try everything, see everything, do everything. And I said, you know, I just need to wipe this off, forget about it. And I was going to just not renew. And, you know, and the more I thought about it and the more I kind of went through the evaluation process, the more I kept coming back to the products. I said, you know, I hate the multi-level thing. You know, that is not working for me. You know, that's something that is really tough. But I love the products, you know, and I could not discredit the products because they're such wonderful products. And I've had some personal experiences with some of the products that really helped me, and I just...
Give us a for example. Why did you love, based on your personal experience?
You know, I had plantar fasciitis. When I was selling cars, I was on my feet, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, 5, 6 days a week, and my arches collapsed and my feet just totally were shot. And I was to the point that I couldn't hardly walk anymore, and finally I went to my doctor, and of course he sends me to the podiatrist, and he says, you know, your arches are collapsed, we're going to have to order you custom orthotics, and the rest of your life you're going to have to wear these. And so they ordered them for me, $395 for these orthotics. Put them in my shoes, and I could walk, and I could have tolerable pain, and it was, you know, okay. I did that for about 6 years. When I came into the NECAN, one of the first products I bought after I joined was the insoles. Put the insoles, I remember they came on a Friday, about noon is when they came, and I got them, my wife called me and says, your insoles just came, and I came running home and put them in my shoes. I thought, I'm just going to see how long I can go without having a lot of pain. Because typically, if I took my insoles out, I mean, if I were to walk barefoot across the floor, by the time I hit 15 feet, I had to sit down. My feet hurt so bad.
Wow.
And so I took the insoles out, put the MagStrides in, and went back to work. Well, 9 o'clock that night, when I sat down to take my shoes off and get ready for bed, I had remembered I put those insoles in, and I could not believe it. I had no pain that day, and I've had no pain since. And now I can take my shoes off and go out and walk on concrete half a day, and I don't feel a thing.
Hmm.
Totally fine. So, you know, I had that experience. I just thought, you know, there really is something to this. This isn't, you know, a subliminal thing. It's not hype. There's a real medical happening behind these products. So anyway, I kept coming back to that, and when I finally sat down in September and made my decision, I said, some of my greatest successes have come from my failures. And I think that's true of most of us. If you really study failure long enough, you can figure out what's going on, and then you can turn it into success.
Right, and that's the bottom line. I remember reading a quote years ago at a GM plant up in just outside of Flint, Michigan. And it said above this gentleman's door, if you're not satisfied with your rate of success, increase your rate of failure.
Yeah.
So I
decided, I don't need the money right now. I don't really care if I develop the business, but I'm going to just think about this. And so for a couple of months, I just kind of in my own mind went through what I'd been doing, you know, the things that I had done wrong, the things that maybe I'd done right, and just kind of went through the whole process in my mind and did a real thorough evaluation of where I'd been and where I was. And I got up one day and I said, you know, the real foundation of this company is not the multi-level company. The real foundation of this company is the wonderful products we have. You know, that really is what the backbone and the skeletal structure of this company is. The money is a byproduct of that. And I sat down and one morning I got up and I said, you know what I'm going to try to just sell the products retail. Don't care about the business. Don't care about educating everybody about what a wonderful company NECAN is. I'm going to try and get as many products in as many people's homes as I can and push from that direction. And so in January of this year, I made it a point, and I still work for the hospice company, that I was going to try and get as many sales as I could, and I was going to go through my old list again and try and just place as many products in people's homes as I could and not worry about the business, not talk about the business. I was not going to go in with my agenda. I was just going to go in with the agenda of, do you have a health problem? Let me see if I can help. And so in January, I did $5,500 in retail sales. That really kind of sparked me up and got me excited. And so I cranked it up a little bit. And in February, that jumped to $15,000 in retail sales.
Okay, so let me rewind, because if we do a quick math on that with punching on a calculator, $5,500 or $15,000, you're definitely earning more in retail sales than a $428 commission check.
Yeah, my January check was about $1,500.
Okay.
In February, it jumped to about $4,800. To kind of wind it forward, in April, and I just kept kind of doing the same thing, in April it jumped up to a little over $10,000.
Okay, and at this point, the title that you have in Nikken, you made it to the bronze level if you hit 15K.
And in March, I went silver.
Okay.
So in 3 months, I went from executive to silver and never signed up a business consultant.
Okay.
So anyway, I just all of a sudden had this thing that was just coming alive, and it was kind of taking a life of itself. And from that point forward, I just kept on duplicating and doing the same kind of thing. The interesting thing about it is the business side of it that I was, you know, kind of the focus of my life before, now I put in the background. And what I found out happened is as I sold retail products and as people got retail products, I put together a follow-up process, and we'll go through that in just a minute. That as I went forward and followed up with people, I would have people that would call me up that were retail customers of mine that would say, you know, I've got, you know, a brother that lives in Arkansas, and I've got a sister in New York City, and I've got a couple friends across the street, and I'd really like to introduce these products to them. You know, could I give you their contact information and have you go talk to them? And then I would say, you know what, you have to look at this as maybe a business. And they said, well, what do you mean a business? And I said, well, let me explain it to you, and I'd get into it. And all of a sudden, they would come on board and say, oh, man, yeah, I want to do this. And so what ended up happening is all these retail customers I've got, you know, the ones that have any business interest at all start coming back to me, and some of them just saw the volume and the pace I was at, and they would call me up and say, you know, whatever you're doing, I want to know if I can get in. Is there a way I can get involved? And so I had guys coming to me asking me to be consultants. You know, I wasn't out there dragging them, you know, into wellness previews and doing all the stuff that we typically do. They were coming to me because they already had the products in their homes. They already had a testimony of the product. They loved the product. And they, in their own minds, were looking at it going, you know, this is pretty cool, and there's nobody else out there like this. I wonder if there's a way that I can get involved with this.
Now, I have to ask, Carl, what, going back a little bit here, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but just a quick question pops in my mind, is you were obviously doing rollouts, sharing your first year, doing a lot of rollouts, doing a lot of product demos. What made it different? Was it simply your focus on just selling it?
I think it was a couple things. One is my focus was so strong on looking for business partners that when I would go sit down with someone, I had a very definite focus and agenda of what I expected that evening to turn into. And I really didn't care what they wanted to do or where they wanted to go in life. They were going to go down my path. And so I come from a world of sales where, you know, sometimes you have to high-pressure people into doing what you want them to do. I mean, that's the sales world. That's, you know, that's the reality of life. And we've all been in situations where you had a salesman that just started twisting your arm until finally you said, Uncle, where do I sign?
Yeah.
And so that was part of the problem I had is, you know, it was all about me and all about where I wanted them to go. It really wasn't about them and where they wanted to go.
Sure.
So that was kind of a fatal error. The other thing that really changed is when I flipped from, you know, looking at them and saying, okay, I'm just here to help you. You know, I'm not here, you know, to have you deliver a great income for me, but I'm just here to help you with your health. That was another huge change.
Okay.
So those two things. And I looked at retail as kind of a nasty evil that we didn't want to mess with.
Right, and I think...
the nuisance.
Yeah, exactly. And again, I go back and think that's exactly what we're trained to do in the network marketing industry is, you know, don't focus on retail. We want to share with them as a gift to help them, and we, you know, retail is just pure evil.
Yeah.
Why would we want anybody to pay retail?
And you know, part of the mistake I made, and I've seen a lot of people do the same thing, is I would go in, and when somebody started talking about pricing, I would almost feel like I need to apologize because we're so overpriced and this is so expensive, but I can figure out a way for you to get it wholesale, and the wholesale is probably a lot more realistic price of what this stuff's really worth. You know, so you kind of shoot yourself in the foot going in, because the minute they get the hint that it's overpriced, the minute they start thinking this is kind of a scam.
Sure.
You know, this product isn't really worth what they're asking. They know it's not worth that, and so they're trying to con you into buying it at another price, which is what it probably what it's worth is, which is the wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I went out as a retail seller, I never apologized for price ever. I mean, I don't sell wholesale. I don't sell discounted. I won't give anybody a break to buy the product. You know, my product is worth every nickel I'm asking for. You take it and compare it against any product your doctor would recommend to you, and this is going to be 2-3 times cheaper than anything they throw at you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had to make that transition. You know, so let me kind of walk through maybe the process a little bit of what I do and how it works for me. And the first thing that I had to come up with is I had to come up with a place and some way that customers can buy the product. We know that Nikan doesn't want to stockpile it, and they don't want us to have a garage just full of products and we're retailing out of our garage. They won't allow us to have a retail location where you go downtown to the mall and you rent a place and put Nikan up and sell retail over the counter. So we're kind of restricted there. So as I looked at the whole picture, I said, well, you know, but they do let us have PWP sites, and I'd had a PWP site since I first started. And I thought, you know, that's my store. You know, that's going to be my retail location where I can send people, and they can, in their own time and at their own convenience, they can buy my products.
Mm-hmm.
And so I set up my PWP site, and I started going through it. And you know, I'd had a site online for a year, and I had never gone in and really personalized the site. I mean, it had my name at the top. It had my contact information. I even put a picture on it, but that's all I'd really done. Other than that, I just let Nikan Corporate take care of it. And what I came to find out is I found out that on the Internet, people go to the Internet because they want to buy something cheaper.
Sure.
You know, for the most part, they don't shop local, and they're shopping on the Internet because they think there's something that's a whole lot cheaper, and they can save a lot of money.
And they'd be willing to pay shipping just for the convenience of not having to make another trip to the store or...
They don't want to talk to that high-pressure salesman.
Sure.
And they just want something painless, easy, and get the order done.
Mm-hmm.
What I found is, you know, that's what people will do, and that's what's kind of where our society is, where we've driven ourselves, because we've taken the human element out of purchasing. But, you know, when you have a problem and you call the phone company to complain about the problem and you get a recording, you know, how do you feel? You know, that just drives us all up the wall. And then when you go to the next step and you finally get somebody and you find out they're in India, you know, that just is more infuriating to us. But that's the world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sat down and I said, well, what would happen if I took my PWP site and I got it out of this cold corporate world and I just made it a really nice, warm, fuzzy site where they can go and learn about me? And they can contact me directly, and I'll do an order over the phone. You know, I'll do anything I can to help them out. They can feel free to contact me at any time with problems, issues, questions, and I'm just going to turn it into a very personal site. And so I went into the 4 pages that we can actually control, and I rewrote all of them, and I have updated them and changed them and tweaked them over the last year. And when you go on my site and you go all the way through it, by the time you get to the end of it, you kind of know who I am. You know,
now, and Carl, for the record, for people who haven't seen it in printed form or via an email, what is the address to your
site? It's www.nikan.com/ and then Carl Eaton, C-A-R-L-E-A-T-O-N.
C-A-R-L-E-A-T-O-N.
And when I first started, I had people that told me, no, you don't want to put anything personal in there. You know, you want to keep this kind of, you know, corporate and kind of professional and don't get, you know, too much personal information. But I found the truth is just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people like to deal with people, and especially when it comes to health. You know, health issues are so very personal, and in many instances are very emotional issues that we deal with. And when you can find someone that's personal, someone that's real, somebody that will listen, man, you can't find that much in healthcare. And so when they go through and they read the site and they go through it, even if they don't particularly want an individual product, I've had people just call me up with just health issues and say, you know, I've got this going on. I don't really see anything on your site that helps, but if you run into anybody that knows anything about this. And so it just turned into a gold mine. And what I've kind of done is I've taken my site, and in my mind, that's a retail store.
Sure.
And I think a mistake that I made before and that a lot of us make is that, you know, and I think a good correlation is if, you know, a McDonald's store opens up on the corner of your neighborhood, and I said, if you go to the front door and you walk in the front door and a guy meets you there with a suit on, and you say, well, you know, and he says, well, can I help you? And you say, yeah, I want to buy a hamburger. And he says, well, be happy to sell you a hamburger, but you need to come over to this booth first, and I'm going to give you a 45-minute presentation on who we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
How many hamburgers would McDonald's sell?
Probably not too many.
You know, but yet, how many of us, when we have somebody that calls us up and are interested in a retail product, that's the spiel we give them is, you know, I've got a wellness preview I want to take you to, or, you know, let me come over and talk to you at your house. And then when we get over there, we want to sell them the franchise. We really don't care if they buy the hamburger.
Yeah.
And what they really wanted was the hamburger. And so you have to kind of take your whole mindset and kind of flip that around. And when someone comes in and says, I want a hamburger, you take them right to the counter and you show them how easy it is and how simple it is to buy a hamburger, and you make it such a good experience that they want to come back to your store again.
Now, Carl, is that your primary directive? Is just literally encouraging people to go check out my website. Just say, here's my website, and go read my story, what's happened for my wife and I, and then make a decision from there.
That's where I am now. Where I started out and how I got to this point is I took my list of 268 people, and you know, if you figure 9 out of 268, that's not a very good percentage.
No.
But when I went through that whole list again and went back through talking to them, I had a whole different approach this time. This time when I went and talked to them, it was just, my whole goal was, I'd like you to talk to me about health issues or health problems you have. And the hardest thing I had for me was just to learn to shut up and listen. And too often, you know, in our minds, before we talk to them, we already have our agenda laid out in front of us. We already know exactly where we're going to take those people. And when I took my agenda and threw it in the garbage and I said, you know, my agenda is to get them to open up and to tell me about their life, physically, their health, and the issues they're struggling with. When that turned into my agenda, that completely reversed everything I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And once I got the people to open up and trust me and believe that I really cared about them, I mean, people will just roll out their whole health life in front of you, and they'll talk to you for hours about it because it's about them.
Well, exactly, and you're simply asking the question that right now in our electronic relationship-driven culture that we're in, you know, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, you name it, that to actually get somebody that you can talk to, for example, as you said, you know, you call a customer service, you know, for a company and you get connected over to India. And nothing wrong with India. It's a wonderful country. I've been there. But goodness, we want to talk to somebody that actually understands what we're dealing with.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I'm getting the gist of it here. So, just driving people to your website and literally asking them rather than you coming in presuming that you have the answer, that you have the solution, first find out what the issues are.
Right.
Okay.
And then what I would do is they just poured out their health concerns on my table. Instead of taking the view of, yeah, you need a total wellness home, you need to write me a check for $5,000, instead I would just pick one health problem that I really felt like we had something that would really make a miraculous, you know, impact on them. And so I would focus on that one item, and I would say, you know, you got this back that's really killing you. That's your biggest problem right now. You need to try this back belt.
Mm-hmm.
And I would talk about one product, and my goal was to get them to try one product. You know, regardless of the cost, it didn't make any difference to me. It was just try one product. And once they tried that one product, what I would do is 2 weeks after they placed the order, then I would begin my follow-up, and I would call them, and I'd ask two questions. The first one is, did you get the product? And if they didn't, they were surprised that I was calling to follow up, because we don't service things like that anymore. People don't give service. And so if they hadn't had the product, then there's a problem with the order. I've got to jump into this and figure out what's going on. So you've kind of headed off that problem before it becomes more of an issue later on. If they did have the product, the only question I would ask them is, how are you using it? And I found out 50% of the people that buy our products don't use them correctly. And if you're not using it correctly, you are not going to get the results that you need to get. And so before I would even approach, you know, what kind of result do you have, and I want to know how they're using it. And the 50% that weren't using it correctly, I would give them instructions and send them back out for a couple weeks to try it properly. And the ones that have been using it correctly, then I would go to my third question, which was, tell me about the result. And across the board, I've run averages now, and I've got over 1,000 retail customers, and across the board, you're going to have 50% of your people that will have a miraculous event to tell you about.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have 30% that if they use it properly for another couple weeks, they will tell you it is making a difference. And then you got 20% they're going to say, ain't working, not happy with it, don't want to buy anymore. The 20% you just kind of push off the edge of the table, and those people I don't pester anymore, I don't cause any problems with them, I just kind of walk away. The 30% group, you know, I continue to work with, I continue to follow up with, and that 50% group, those people, when I follow up at the two-week mark, I start talking to them about other health issues, and we go on to the next product. Out of that 50% group, by the time you get to the second product with them, a big portion of that group is going to have a friend or a neighbor or somebody else in the family that they would like to have you talk to or like to introduce the product to. And that's the group that I have a business conversation with.
Okay.
So as you go through that, what it does is it just starts building momentum, and you're building this retail store, and the retail store is starting to get customers that come in regularly, and because it's so convenient and because it's so invasive, they start telling their friends and family, and they start going there. And pretty quick, you wake up one morning, and you've got three or four sales that came through from the day before, and you don't have a clue who these people are.
And I'm looking at your numbers, just to crunch them one more step here. 268 people yielding 9 business builders. That's about, what, a little over 3% maybe at best?
Yeah.
And you just said you opened up your field to about 50% potential business builders because of just utilizing a simple system of following up and asking more questions and then connecting them to more. 20%, nothing happened. 30%, what was the 30% category again?
The 30% are people that have had the product for a couple weeks, and they're not really sure if it's making a difference. They're kind of deciding whether they should just stop it or not. Those people, if you encourage them to go another couple weeks, if they've been on the product for 30 days, that 30% will tell you, yeah, it's making a difference. It's not going to be as miraculous, you know, and as a big deal as the 50%, but they will admit to you that this is making a difference. It's helping me.
Okay.
But it takes more time for them. And a lot of times those are the people that have got chronic problems that have had them for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. So you're really, instead of you using your mouth and your brilliant sales techniques that Carl Eaton has been blessed with, probably since birth, what you're doing instead is you're letting the Nikan Solutions do all the work for you.
Yeah, what I've basically done is I've just, you know, turned to the Nikan products and said, you're the best sales tools I've got. If I can get you in the home, I got a customer for life. And that is true.
And you've been doing this now, you said, was it January of this year? So we're talking less than 9 months, and you've built a arsenal of 1,000, you said, retail sales.
I've got over 1,000 retail customers.
Okay. So
my website has about 40,000 hits a month.
I have to say, as you told me over the phone a few weeks ago when we first chatted, I just sent them to my website, and so I'm thinking it's got to be flashy and it's got to have neon things coming out at me. To be brutally honest, I was less than impressed because that was not there. What I saw was definite, just this is who Carl and Wendy Eaton are, this is our story. If you don't believe it, oh well. And what's hilarious is you've even got a couple typos in there.
Yeah.
And I thought, I wonder if Carl realizes this, because if he does, it's sheer brilliance, because that's what makes it normal.
Yeah.
For
everybody. You know, we like to do business with people that are like us.
Sure.
And none of us are perfect. I mean, all of us have our flaws. All of us like to put on this perfect presence when we're out in public. But in real life, when you go to bed at night and you crawl into bed, you're just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've gone through the day the best you could. You made some stupid mistakes and you did some good things. But all in all, you're doing the best you can with what you've got right now, and we're all struggling.
Yeah. Well, and Carl, I'm looking at the time, because I told you originally that, you know, 30, 35, 40 minutes or so, and I don't want to take any more of your time. What is the best? It's everybody who's heard what you've shared right here, and most of them are probably online right now looking at your website, because they're going to say, well, I want to see what words he misspelled, or what I don't know what people are going to be looking for. But what would be the best advice that you would give them, because whether they're just getting started in their Nikan career and they want to make some money, there's nothing wrong with that. This is why we have jobs, and money does make the world go around. What would your best advice be to people who have, let's say, been in 5, 10, 15 years, and they've never even seen a check for $428? Or maybe they have, but they'd like to relaunch it at this point, utilizing a PWP, a personal web page.
my best advice would be to stop and reevaluate everything you've done, all the people you've talked to, and take your business-focused philosophy and make it about the people. Make it about helping, you know, what can I do? Get up every morning and say, what can I do to place a product in someone's home today that's going to help them be healthier and improve their health? And when your focus moves away from you and towards helping someone else, something just happens. I mean, it just, things turn.
Okay. Which, obviously, it's working. And can I ask, and this is kind of a bold question right at the tail end here, you had mentioned that, what was it, March or April, you got a check for over $10,000,
right,
from Neekin. Have you developed another silver underneath of you yet?
And that's an interesting thing because right now I have all my people on two levels. And until I hit three levels, I don't really care if I go gold. I've got consultants now in 17 states and two countries. And the people I've got underneath me that are doing the same thing I'm doing, we're spreading out broad. I mean, you build massive broad spectrum. And, the commission structure doesn't really change that much as you go up the chain. All it changes is the depths that you go into.
Sure.
And until I have people that are hitting that third level and down below, I'm happy just to stay silver.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, again, contradicting what network marketing teaches us is that we need to go all the way. I mean, even in the article that's in the magazine, you put in there that, I can't remember how many years from now, your goal is to be royal ambassador and, da-da-da. And looking at your first year of doing this approach, less than a year, one would step back and say, well, he's got a long way to go to build the volume to be a royal ambassador. However, I would beg to differ because you're doing everything right in that 20% is a whole lot greater than busting your backside to pop out a silver to collect 6%.
Right.
When, there's nothing wrong with that. And then the flip side is what we never even addressed during our whole conversation here, is that it's not just 20%. It's actually 45%.
Correct. And that's one of the big mistakes we do is we take that first 25% column and most of us just cut that out and throw it out before we even begin the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken that 25%, and that's the hit I get on every deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can add another 10% in there too if you want to throw something on auto ship and direct ship it to them with an automatic every single month, so you're getting another 10%, so you're looking at a 55% commission back in your pocket, and someone's going to call me or send me an email and say, I do the math and I don't see 55%. Trust me, it's there. it's just there. I mean, I'm coming up on my 19-year anniversary here in a couple months, and I know that it works. So, Carl, thank you for taking 45 minutes out of your schedule on a Saturday morning when you could be doing a lot of other things. I appreciate this because I'm looking back over my notes and I'm realizing that you've given us some simple things, but the other couple, that's the Voristers, Ted and Andy Vorister down in Houston, Texas. For years, they've been doing the exact same thing that you have been, and that is focusing on retail customers. And I know that also out of Houston, Pat and Suzanne Truax, they earned over $1 million from Neekin long before they became part of the Millionaires Club because it never showed up on their commission because it was through retail sales.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing, because we're still helping people with Neekin solutions. So this has been truly wonderful, and I really, really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to giving you a great big Neekin hug in a couple weeks at the convention. And again, if you didn't get it down, it's Carl Eaton's website is simply www.neekin/Carl Eaton, CARLEATON.
And if you can use convention tickets, drop me a line and I'll get you some.
There you go. So all you'd be out is your hotel and your airfare, and there's plenty of places. I mean, that is the heartland of Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, so they say. I beg to differ on that one because I like my home and I consider it the happiest place on earth. Your hotel and your airfare, and, you could fast the whole time and not have to worry about it. my food out of the pocket. But anyways, folks, I'm hoping you can take what Carl has shared and utilize it. It may take you a few weeks, few months to really get this thing dialed in. And the beautiful thing is, and this is what we're going to be talking about next week on our call, is how do we utilize what Nikan's about to unveil, both product-wise, both dream-wise, both with what we have with being a Nikan Wellness Consultant. How do we utilize that? So it's just going to be kind of an open-line discussion. There's so many things out there that I don't think we're really grasping, and Carl's given us a great plethora of information to utilize on that. So, and then one last quick reminder, if Carl said something that was too fast, you want to go back and listen to it again, or I said something that was just sheer brilliant, because I do that all the time. Just kidding, folks. Some of you are, you need my sarcasm this time of the morning to kind of just really get the blood boiling. The website is www.saturdayamlive.com, and you can listen to the recording. And I want to encourage as well, while you're there, go back and listen to the interview we did last Saturday with Sherry Marshall and Fleeta Taylor. These two sisters are tearing it up, and what I failed to share during the interview is what these gals are doing volume-wise, personal group volume-wise, would blow your mind. I mean, just completely astronomical. And I looked after the call. I did some digging and research, and I thought, holy smokes, I wish I would have shared that. So, anyways, the recording's there. Again, Carl, thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
And have a fantastic weekend, everybody. And if there's anything that I can do on my end to help, phone number is, again, 503-695-5683. Be happy to assist, or pop me an email, vsrogers995@aol.com. So thank you again to Carl. Thank you for everybody who's listening all over our great country. Have a wonderful day celebrating tomorrow the freedom that we have, because people have laid down their life, and remembering those who did not willingly lay down their life during 9/11. And remember to just pray for their families, because it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We all know where we were and when that happened, so be praying for them. So have a great weekend, folks, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.